afternoon, brethren. Glad everyone can be here. I want to especially welcome those who are with us around the world on the live stream. And I hope that everyone will receive a blessing. My subject and prayer thought is, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. All of us here know this in various ways. All of us adults. And we hope to be able to communicate this to others who don't know it. It's not always easy, though. But it's very, very true. There is a way that seemeth good. It seemeth the right thing. It seemeth fun. It seemeth the end thing, what everyone is doing. And there is a time and place in our lives when it seems like fun is the best thing possible. And everyone is doing it. We want to do it too. We have to do it sometimes. It's hard probably for us to remember how compelling it is to the young people, and maybe some of those who are not so young, if the crowd is doing it, if this is the thing to do, well, that's what we have to do. And maybe we weren't always precisely forced to do everything that what was in style and whatever was the thing that people wanted to be doing at that time. But we were still influenced. All of us were influenced. So don't exempt yourself. We have been influenced. And when we look around and we see other people in the grips of the compulsion to do what others are doing, we should not be judgmental. We should not be critical, because there, but for the grace of God, go we also. And there is a way of the world that seemeth right. It seems appealing. It seems wonderful. But the Lord says that the end thereof are the ways of death, and he knows. I think it helps in a way in this modern era to think of God, and any way we think of God, if we are serious about assigning something to him, it is wrong, by the way, because we can't tell God who he is and so on. But I think in a way it's useful for our young people, younger people, to think of God as this great, giant, in fact, infinite computer, AI. He's not artificial, he's natural. But the point is, if you had such a computer at your beck and call, right here on your shoulder, telling you what you should do, and this AI, this massive, massive, incredibly great intelligence, always was right, and he told you, don't cross the street right now, because in 5 seconds you can't see it, but there's a car coming. And you listened and you lived. And that the Lord actually has done things like that for people. Many people have stories here and in the around the world where the Lord has intervened. But the Lord also tells us in a even more important way, how are we to live our life so that we end up in the way that we want to go, which is eternal life. We can live forever. We can live forever now, but we have to listen to our great infinite computer wisdom. And remember, I am phrasing it like that to be to make an impression. God is no more a computer than he is a human being. There are people out there who say, God made us in his image, male and female. Therefore, God is male and female. Okay, just like a human being. And that, of course, is silly. It's not worth even responding to. And he's not a computer either, but you know what? It's a great giant intelligence. They're ready to tell us what we need to do for our own good. He is not telling us what we need to do for his good. He is guiding us through this very dangerous life that we are in to the end, which is a wonderful and good end. And for us, on our part, the way that we think we should go, it's like, well, you know, that's a nice looking city there. If I turn in that direction, I will make some money. I will get a good education. I will become famous, and so on. Let's turn that way. And that way, brethren, is the way of death. And our God, who is always with us, never a moment away from us, he has told us that if we go that way, that is the way of death. Even though it seems so wonderful at first, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we have been able to come together once more and have this privilege of worshiping you on this Sabbath afternoon. We thank you for the truth that you have given us today. We thank you for the message that you have sent to us. And we thank you for the part you have given us in the work of redemption. We pray that we will strive with all our power to become the kind of workers in your cause that you have asked us to be, that you have called us to be. And we pray that wherever we are, that whatever we do, we remember that you are with us, that you are always willing to help us, and that you want us to succeed in the things that are good for us and the things that you have pointed out to us in the way we should go. We pray that you will be with those who are sick, those who are hungry, those who are lonely and destitute, that you will watch over all of them, that you will comfort them, that you will give those who are nearby to them, the brethren nearby to them, no peace of heart or mind until they do all that you would have them do for these brethren. And we pray that you will help us also here to do our part in every way that you would have us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Brother Hadiff in 1 TG 1:5 says, there may be a great deal of temporary fun and prodigality, but it only ends in humiliation and disrepute. Now, it is not really, truly deep, satisfying fun. That's one of the secrets of all the world's allurements. It gives you a taste, and you think, oh, this is not bad. Let's have more of whatever it is. But more is never enough. More is never really deeply satisfying. And what the Lord offers is deep satisfaction, the contentment of heart, the peace in your mind that you know that you are doing what the Lord wants you to do for your own good. And the satisfaction, the serenity, and the happiness that comes from serving the Lord is completely disproportionate to the pleasures of the world. The pleasures of the world are on the surface. They're quickly used up and quickly forgotten. You have to go back and do it some more. With the Lord, the satisfaction and the happiness that you get lasts a lifetime. It is always there. It will see you through everything that the vicissitudes of life, the troubles that bound to come upon us. It will always be there to see you through, and the Lord will be behind that in his encouragement and in his strengthening of us. Now, the problem is, on the surface, a life of prodigality looks interesting, okay? It looks fun to people. Now, perhaps you're shaking your head, no, it's not. Well, we already went around the block, most of us, okay? We've seen it already and we know. Sometimes you can teach people the knowledge that you have, you can share the knowledge that you have, sometimes you can't. It just depends on the people involved. But it is a very convenient thing if you as a person, a younger person who is learning, if you don't have to invent the wheel all over again. On the way to the inventing the wheel, who knows what happened? There could have been all sorts of mishaps and wheel explosions and so on. Okay, there always is. And it's not necessary to reinvent these things from the beginning. The Lord, through his prophet, has told us a very important secret, a very beneficial secret. It's temporary fun. There may be temporary fun. We're not saying there isn't. But the temporary fun ends in humiliation and disrepute. Before it ends, you will want to get onto the rat race. The rat race is work harder, happiness is just around the corner, earn more money so you can have fun, buy more things, and keep going and rinse and repeat over and over. Okay, this is the rat race, the American rat race, actually, for everyone, everywhere. And so it's a matter of having fun, working harder to get money so you can have more fun. There are people who work very hard to go to foreign lands that I personally never wanted to go to on my own. People who work very hard so they can go to Hawaii. And it's like, you can't have any good times right here. But they're going to have a special time in Hawaii. And so they have to work harder, and around and around and around they go. And it's a waste in the end. It's all a delusion that the enemy sucks people into. And the purpose of this is to be watching over here when the real thing is over here. The real thing is the Lord's way. But he wants you watching his way over here, and if you do that, you will go around and around until you come to the end someday. Many who would shrink with horror from some great transgression are led to look upon sin in little matters as of trifling consequence. But these little sins, and we have little compromises on the way to our success. And each of those compromise, when we compromise principle, when we compromise the principles of the message, the Lord's word to us, we are transgressing each and every time that one of those little compromises takes place. But these little sins eat out the life of godliness in the soul. The feet which enter upon a path diverging from the right way are tending toward the broad road that ends in death. There is a road that ends in death, either soon or later. The Christian's journey does not end in death. It ends in a possibly sleep for a time, but the Christian sleeps. He doesn't, it's not an eternal death. And those who transgress first in little things and then in great things, they are headed to eternal death. Those in the broad way are occupied with the thoughts of worldly pleasure. They freely indulge in hilarity and glee, giving no thought to the end of their journey. In the road of death, all may go with their worldliness, their selfishness, their pride, dishonesty, and moral debasement. Now, that is where the road goes. It ends in death. Now, the enemy, when he is there, acting the salesman for his lifestyle, he's not going to show you the result. He tells you how wonderful it is. Okay? Come this way. Come this way. This is the way to go. And down his way, you will have fun, but you also have much sadness and sorrow. Whereas the Lord's way is not a way, and this is where some Christians make a big mistake. Our way is a way of gloomy sorrowfulness. Okay, it's not, brethren. That is not our way. And if you're on that way, you're on the wrong way. Our way is a way of peace and joy and happiness, true and deep peace and joy, long-lasting happiness. That is our way. And our way does not lead to final death. And that is the broad way. The broad way does lead that way. And millions of souls are perishing every year, Sister White says, along that way. And we know that's true. It doesn't need to be, brethren. This is a case where you have the Lord telling the plain, a simple, unvarnished truth, and it's a good truth. And then you have the devil over here who is a huckster. He is a liar. He's really good at making nothing seem really wonderful. And he is getting lots and lots of people to go down that way. And at the end of the day, it's all nothing. It's all fake. It's all a fraud. Now, we are like Moses in some ways. Modern Moseses, as well as being compelled to choose one of two things, either professor teaching the world, Egypt, with large income, fame, and pleasures of sin for a season, or work for the denomination with a small salary and suffer affliction with the church, the children of Israel. We have a decision to make. We are compelled to choose between one of two things. And we can go and work in the world with a large income and the pleasures of sin, or we can work today for the Lord. We are all in this situation, every single one of us. We have to decide which one we want. And for most people, even though they say they want to be Davidians, they don't want to pay the price. And paying the price is not money. It's the opposite. It's a loss of money. Because you will guarantee to have a larger income in the world. You are guaranteed to have a lower income when you work for the Lord, small salary. But brethren, that is what the Lord has called each and every one of us today to do. Every single Davidian is called to work for the Lord, all of us. Now, I want to, to a certain extent, touch on the thought of duty. Duty is doing things, whether it is whether we want to or not, whether it meets our pleasure at the moment or not. And duty is its own reward. When we have an allegiance to duty, to doing our duty, you feel good afterwards. Okay, and you'll even feel good during your performance of duty. It's not that we just go around saying, oh yes, I feel so good, I'm doing my duty. That's not the point. But the point is that once we are committed to our duty, once we are committed to doing the right thing, no matter what, we then put that first beyond other things. We are rewarded. The Lord does reward us for putting duty first. And there are many things that we have that we put before our duty to the Lord. Many, many things, brethren. And one of the most sad things I hear is that at a convenient time, I will do my duty. Okay, I will. At a convenient time. But the Lord wants each and every one of us to make a commitment to not Bashan, not ourselves, not any human being. He wants us to make a commitment to him that we will put our duty as Davidians first. We say we want to be part of the 144,000, that we are part of the vanguard today, that we want to serve the Lord. Well, then we need to commit to that. We need to make our duty to the Lord our primary goal in life. Now, you cannot do that and pass by your child, and your child says, I'm hungry, give me a piece of bread. And you say, be filled, child, and you go about your church business. Okay? You cannot go outside your house to do your duty until you finish doing your duty inside your house. Okay? So that this is what the message teaches. This is what the Bible shows. And there are many things that connect with this. But the point is, we don't ask you to let people starve or to do anything dramatic, anything that is counter to the message. But what we are saying is that every single Vanguard Davidian needs to have their full enlistment contract in the hands of the Lord. I mean the Lord, not Bashan. You need to give your full commitment to the Lord without reservation. And it's a good thing. The Lord will not mistreat you. You will never be sorry for committing yourself into his hands. But commit yourself to the Lord, to doing your duty no matter what. And as with Moses, it will end in you having perhaps a smaller salary. Yeah, perhaps. But we don't remember all the other generals and rulers and professors in Egypt. We remember Moses today. The greatest general, the greatest lawgiver, the greatest prophet, one of the greatest prophets, a great man there. And we remember Moses, we don't remember the others. Why not go after life's blessings in God's way? Now, we do want to naturally have life's blessings, but there is a right way of doing it, and there is a very wrong way of doing it. The only lasting fortune man can obtain is gotten through righteousness, through God's way, and in his time. If we obtain the world, today that is a billionaire. We are a billionaire. We obtain the world, but we don't have righteousness. We don't have character. And brethren, if you look at the billionaires, there are all sorts of people out there, but while I'm not knowledgeable about them at all, I do not see, besides their business acumen, I do not see character traits that I want to emulate there. Okay, maybe you see, but I don't. But it is more important for us to have that righteousness today, that character of Christ today, than it is to have the world. If we have the character of Christ, we will learn how to react to different situations. We will react in the way Christ would act. We will react successfully. In each different situation of life, we will react appropriately. With duty, our highest and first consideration, we will do the right thing at the right time in the right place. Christ said of himself, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword." Matthew 10:38. And that was in Acts of the Apostles, page 84. We are compared to a vanguard, a military vanguard. Now, our work is going to result in a great deal of strife. There is going to be a day of judgment. There are going to be many people who reject the truth. And so there is going to be much trouble and upheaval. Many of us don't realize that the peace that the Lord is talking about is not a peace around us, but it's a peace in us. You can have someone, Christ for instance, in the middle of a tornado, as it were, of calamities, peaceful and serene, but a continual chaos of excitement and commotion and so on all around. We can have that peace in our heart. We're not here to bring that peace to the world. It's not that our work doesn't end in peace, it does. But meanwhile, there will be many people who resist, who refuse. And those people provide the problems and the resistance and commotion. Do not desire a life of ease and inactivity. Some people do want a life of ease, peace, quiet, tranquility around them. And it seems perfectly natural for people to do that. But if we are members of the vanguard, we are warriors, we are soldiers, and we cannot overcome, we cannot do our job if we have a life of ease and inactivity. Everyone who accepts Christ as his personal Savior will long for the privilege of serving God. Ministry of Healing, page 502. Now, this is a profound statement, and every Davidian should meditate on this and to understand the consequences. There are two sides here. The negative side is for those who don't long to serve Christ. What does that mean? It means that we have not truly accepted Christ as our Savior. And for those who have truly accepted Christ as our Savior, what does it mean for us, for all of those people? It means that we do actively want to be in the front rank. We do want to be helping the Lord, helping the great struggle that is going on now between good and evil. We want to have a part. To love the Lord is to want to obey the Lord, want to help the Lord. And every single person who loves the Lord, who is truly converted, is going to want to have a place in the battle line. The Church of Christ may be fitly compared to an army. The life of every soldier is one of toil, hardship, and danger. So what we are offering, what the Lord is offering to us, is a life of duty, a life of warfare, spiritual warfare. It's not a life of ease. If you wanted a life of plenty, prosperity, and good times, this is the wrong religion. This is the vanguard religion. This is not that religion that you had needed, or wanted, I should say. It's the religion you need. It's not the religion that some people want. So the life of every soldier is one of toil, hardship, and danger. These are strange words to many ears, and they need not be, they should not be, and we need to get used to them, brethren. I don't know anything at all about this God's Warrior book. Literally, it's just a picture I saw. But I imagine that she has a family, and she's out on the battle line protecting and defending her family. And that's a real thing to imagine, because there are many ways of being God's warrior. None of them involve a real sword, of course. Okay, it's a metaphor. It is a metaphor for the willingness to face toil, hardship, and danger. When you are standing up for the right values, you know, you may find that people, instead of being approving, instead of being happy with you, they'll be critical. Friends may turn on you, family may turn on you, but you will continue. You will continue to be God's warrior. So can a woman be a warrior? Yes. Can a mother be a warrior? Yes. Can all of us be God's warriors? Yes, we are called to be God's warriors. In our case, not to slay, but to save lives. But otherwise, all the things that apply to an army, a soldier's life, is true. Toil, hardship, and danger. What does danger mean here? Danger means just what you think it means. It means everything bad. Physically to us and spiritually. Yes, our life can be dangerous when we are serving the Lord. The Lord has promised to save us, to save our soul. And he's also going to do the very best that is possible for us physically. But he did not promise to, in a general case, he did not promise to save our physical body from any kind of danger, pain, and trouble, and so on. That is not so. Our great example, Christ, suffered pain on the cross. If Christ, God, suffered pain himself, why do you think that we are going to be exempted from pain and danger ourselves in our own individual case? We're not, brethren. And I want you to come to terms with this, because there are people who take a look at the life of toil and hardship and danger and say, no, that's not for me. What are you trying to sell us, Brother Trevor? Give us some ease. Give us some good things. We want some fun. And those people, that way is available. There is a way that leads to those things. And those people who are impressed with that, they go off to the left-hand way. And we're sorry about that. But It is necessary for us to draw this line very clearly for everyone. We are offering hardship, danger, duty, and great difficulty. This is the only way that the Lord has for us ahead of us. Now, how do we fit ourselves for these things? How can we become the people who are inured to hardship, willing to bear danger, and determined to do our duty no matter what? How do we become this? Well, the way from here to there is not so easy as you think. It's not so easy, brethren. Between here and there is a great chasm, and it is not so easy to cross over, certainly not by doing the same thing as we always do, but more of it. It is not easy, it's not possible to continue that way. We have to work in a new order, a new way of training in order to become these warriors for Christ. Minds have been crippled and dwarfed for want of zeal and earnest, severe taxation. The time has come when God says, go forward and cultivate the abilities I have given you. The cause of God needs men of intellect, men of thought, men well-versed in scriptures to meet the inflowing tide of opposition. So we are to be giants. We are to be great warriors when it comes to the mind. The men of intellect, well-versed in the scriptures, we have to spend much, much more time learning to handle our weapons of war, the message. We have to cultivate the abilities that he has given us. The truth is we are not using our brain in the way God had given it to Adam, okay? We do not have that access to those mental powers that the Lord has imbued us with. And the Lord says, the time has come when God says, go forward, cultivate the abilities I have given you. Now, we are, in theory, cultivating these mental attributes. Each one who is serious about being a sharp tool in the Lord's hands, you will continue to fit yourself. You will continue to grow stronger. You want to grow in knowledge of the message and how to use the message. And you want to also develop and cultivate the abilities in general, the mental, intellectual abilities, emotional, self-control, self-awareness. We've talked about these things many times. So there's many things that we need to do. And there is a pathway here, a road for us to take to get to that. To get to the people that we are supposed to be will take earnest, severe taxation. Now, we know what earnest is. What is taxation? To tax ourselves. To tax ourselves is like, that was pretty taxing. That was a taxing run. That was a taxing test, and so on, okay? So that's taxing is something that is hard. But what is severe taxation? It takes great intensity of effort. To get ahead in the short time that we have, it will take very great intensity. We have to make a very large effort. Well, I'll pray about that, brother. And you do pray about it and do nothing else, and you have just segregated yourself out of the front line of the Gideon group into one of those other groups. Because it does take severe taxation, severe effort, intense effort prolonged, intense effort. Now, it's not natural for us to want to undergo that toil and strain, and that's why we talked about a life of hardship and toil, because it's going to be a life of hardship and toil right now if we become the people that we are supposed to be on everything. It doesn't matter what you do. Let's just take a trivial example of your computer knowledge. Year after year, your knowledge stays at a certain level. You don't think that you need to know anything. You think you can always ask. But why should you remain ignorant year after year of some commonplace tool that you use? Is that the way the Lord's special people would do? Now, I didn't say that you have to become a computer science expert and know every thing about your computer, but you do need to know it from the top to the bottom and the inside to the outside if you are going to be successful. You see, a warrior, this warrior, for instance, my favorite warrior woman here, she knows how to use her sword, and she knows how to take care of it. They actually did do maintenance on their swords and their armor too. And she takes care of the thing so that when she needs it, it will be there for her. It will be there. And it's the same thing with our daily tools. The computer is a boring thing. It's been many years since I had a thrill learning and working on computers. Okay, so if you think that I'm an exception here, you are wrong. It is not at all thrilling or interesting to me, but it doesn't matter. If there's something that has to be done, we need to learn the basics about it. You do need to learn your computer, and I'm speaking about a couple of semesters of practical computer use and programs for all of those field workers and office workers and so on. You'd need to know that. And if we have other tools in other areas, we need to learn about that. And if we say, well, I wasn't trained in these things and I just don't know, and we say that for a year, that might be one thing. We say it for 2 years, we say it for 3, 4, 5, 10 years, brethren, the Lord is not following us there into 10, 12, 15 years of ignorance. So, the cause of God needs men of intellect, men of thought, men well-versed in the scriptures. And this is where it all ends up, in the scriptures, in the message. This is where our knowledge ends up. And we have to fit ourselves in many, many different ways, but it is all so we can use this knowledge effectively. Now, I alluded to this earlier, but in the midst of the storm of the various trials of Jesus, Sister White says in Desire of Ages, page 703, the council had assembled, the council of Caiaphas in this case, had assembled in the judgment hall. At the foot of the throne stood Jesus. Of all the throng, he alone was calm and serene. Now, how often would you expect a person who is being judged in a capital case to be calm when the crowd around him is all enraged and calling for his blood and so on? But that was how Christ was. Now, Christ actually did experience the same things that we experience. He experienced pain. He experienced the same feelings that we experience. And when he was nailed to the cross and crucified, he experienced the same pain. And Sister White says great drops of sweat fell from his brow, but his face remained calm and serene. So he had control of the mind. The body was suffering, but he had control of the mind. And that is what we are called to emulate. We are required to learn to how we can control our emotions, our feelings, everything. And we can control everything. To say that we just don't know how, it's impossible and so on, is not to believe what the message teaches on these things. We can learn to control these things. And we can be serene and calm when they are crucifying us. Now you say, that's impossible. It's not impossible, brethren. It is impossible right now for us, and I'm pointing at me. I'm sure I would be tempted, let me say it that way, be tempted to get angry. And that's the wrong thing, okay, very wrong. But there were martyrs in the past who did not, even while they were being burnt at the stake, remained Christ-like, calm, and loving while that was happening. Is that true? We know it's true. If it's true for them, it must be true for us as we go forward. This is my closing thought. Take God's way for your shelter, and thus escape the swiftly gathering storm. And just to quickly review, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'm hoping that everyone will choose the way of life, not the way of death. Okay? There's a broad way that leads to the way to death. It's not necessary. It's not what we are called to take. There's a much better way that the Lord would have us go. So, brethren, take God's way for your shelter and thus escape the swiftly gathering storm. His way is the way of peace and joy and happiness. It comes from obedience. It comes from accepting our duty. Every child of God, every truly converted child of God will want to offer active service to the Lord. It is impossible for us to be converted, to love the Lord, and not want to serve the Lord actively. This is one of the key points on this study, brethren. I made it, and I'm not going to flip back to it, but we do see in practice a sign. There are many people who are not in active service to the Lord and don't intend to be either. And I think that one of the things that people make a great mistake on in Davidia is, well, I pay my tithe, so I'm fine. Okay? No, brethren, it doesn't work like that at all. The tithe is not in any way a substitute for what the Lord has asked us to do in other areas. Returning the tithe, the Lord's tithe, to the Lord's storehouse is good, and we should all do that. That is good. But that gives some people, I'll be honest, it gives a lot of people a false sense of security. It gives them a false sense that they are living up to the standards, or at least meeting the minimum level necessary. No. If we are not willing to commit to our duty wholeheartedly, if we are not willing to render active service to the Lord, then we are not truly converted. Everyone who accepts Christ as his personal Savior will long for the privilege of serving God. And we serve the Lord in many ways, but we serve the Lord according to his requirements, not according to our requirements. So, brethren, I encourage and invite every one of you, every Davidian everywhere, to joyfully move forward, to accept the life that the Lord has offered us, one of hardship, toil, danger, and duty. That's the life that he has offered us for the moment, plus great happiness, peace, and satisfaction, plus a place in his soon coming kingdom. Okay, I wanted to say the hard part first and the good part second. But don't think that you're going to just get one half and you don't get have to eat the whole pie, because it's all part of what the Lord is going to require of us. Let's be faithful no matter what to the very end. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This has been a production of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Association. You can find us online at www.bationhill.org, and you can call us at 417-835-2162.